you have a Bible, I wonder if you'd look with me in at the book of Colossians for a moment this morning. Colossians chapter 1. We have been talking about knowing the Lord, and I guess yesterday all day we were spending our time, and one of the reasons or evidences of our knowing Him is that we've been able to discover an inner strength, a power that's not of us but is of God. And we acknowledge that it's not we that are strong. The Bible never ever tells us, never does the Bible tell us that we're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We're weak, and that's as far as we find in the Bible, at least we will always be weak, but we find our strength in Him. And thank God that we can. And that's why we need to be driven to that brook, that stream, where we draw from Him, that river that flows, and we drink of that life-giving stream. And thank God for it. And so if you want to know whether you know Him or not, I guess one of the things you can do is say, well, do I have that strength? Am I able to stand? Am I able to be lifted above? Do I always live in a losing heart, discouraging kind of a way? Or am I lifted out and more than conqueror because He strengthens me? Well, there are many other ways that we can look at this knowing Him and check ourselves to see. And I think that in every case, you'll be able to say, that's true, I understand that. I know that strength. But I want to know it better. I want to know Him more so that I can know better that strength. And this morning there's a prayer again that the apostle prays. Before he prays the prayer, it's in verse 9. He again says, for this reason, let's go the paragraph ahead of it. And just if you would, look with me at verse 3 where he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Now we can stop right there. Paul says to the Colossians, you know, you heard the gospel and you've received the gospel and you've come to know Christ, the Christ of the gospel. And what that's done for you is it's caused you to bear fruit. He says, as a matter of fact, this gospel all over the world is bearing fruit. You know that you know that you know Him, because when you know Him, then you begin to bear fruit. You're not just a shriveled up old whatever, but you begin to bring forth fruit. And Paul says that here to these Colossians. The gospel all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit, just as it is bearing fruit in you since you heard and have received and embraced this gospel. It's bearing fruit in your lives as it is in the Christians there and here and everywhere, because when people receive the gospel and they come into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the knowing about Him, not just that I attend church, yes, I'm a Christian, but when there's an intimate relationship, and that's what that knowing God is all about. I forgot the word in the original language. I looked it up in Vine's Greek dictionary or concordance or the Hebrew equivalent in Strong's. Ekimosis, ekinosis, eka something or other is what it says in Greek. And it means an intimate knowledge. Adam knew his wife and bare a son, bore a son. Now that knowing is an intimate knowing. Adam just didn't know Eve. Huh? You're Eve. I think you're Eve. I don't know who you are. I think you're Eve. Yeah. No, that's not. Oh yeah, I know you. You're Eve. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about an intimate union and fellowship and connection. That's what that word in the Bible means. That's what it is to know Him. That is to have union and fellowship and communion with Him. To be inextricably linked to Him. And as you come into that relationship, that relationship only, then you, by definition, you bear fruit. It happens. You can't stop it. You can't start it. It just is by virtue of the fellowship and the connection and the linkage that you have to the gospel, that is to the power of God, which is, Paul says to the Romans, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone and anyone that believes. And if you really believe, not just my intellect believes, not just I believe, everybody believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. But that's not just a mental affirmation. Again, that is a knowing. It's a real understanding, an appreciation, and then it leads me into a fellowship and a oneness with Christ, where my life becomes then absorbed in Him. And then I begin to, as Paul says, I begin to bear fruit. And I then grow. He uses that word, I think, I bear fruit, and it's growing. You're bearing fruit and you're growing. More fruit, better fruit, more mature fruit. And then he gets to this prayer in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, he had never been to Colossae. He hadn't seen them face to face. Their pastor had been Epaphras, who had come to where Paul was, got saved, I think, under Paul's ministry, went back, started a church in Colossae. Paul knew of them, and although he'd never seen them, he's praying for them, and he's praying every day for them. And he says, since we heard about you, we've prayed for you, and we have not stopped praying for you, and we're asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this. We pray that God give you the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray, you can boil that down to, we pray that you know God, that you have an understanding about Him, that He reveals to you by revelation Himself, and that you come into that understanding of who He is. We pray this for you, and we pray it in order that you may live a life that's worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, that is, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. And he goes on and on, and I don't want to go on and on. But his prayer for them is along the lines of what he says, I already see in you that you are bearing fruit, but we pray for you, we continue to pray for you, that God continue to open up the eyes of your understanding, that your spiritual eyes become illuminated and enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, that you might know why it is that he has you there in Colossae, and that you might understand him and know him better, so that you can continue to bring forth fruit in every good work. Now, I don't know much about plants or trees. If Brother Hofflander were here, he knows about plants and trees, and I guess maybe some of you do too. But the reason, when I see a tree, a fruit tree, I know that that's an apple tree. I know that that's a peach tree. I know that that's a pear tree. I know that that's a raspberry bush. How do you think I know that that's what those things are? Well, no, forget about me. How do you know that that's an apple tree?
The fruit.
You see apples? You can't tell by the leaves? I can't either. You can? You're smart. Some people can look at the leaf and tell me all about it. I don't know what that thing. I couldn't tell a peach leaf from an apple leaf, from a pear leaf, from a four-leaf clover. I mean, I don't know the difference in these things, but... But I know that that's an apple tree because there are apples there. Or a peach or whatever it might be. Fruit is visible. You can see it. It's growing. You can see the thing right there on that bush. You don't have to guess. But you can see. And that's the proof of it. Now in the Bible, and I want you to help me, okay? Don't be timid and shy. I don't like timid and shy. No, I do, because I think I still am that way, although people tell me no. But I've always been timid and shy. I'd rather just sit in the back where my son is and blend in and do nothing. But I need help, you see, I need help. Now, in the Bible, there are different ways that the Bible says that we can be visible as far as fruit is concerned. And the Bible actually says this is fruit. What does the Bible say? Fruit. How do you show fruit, spiritually speaking? Nobody here shows fruit. You don't look like a peach. Well, some of you look like a peach. But some of you look like but never mind. How do you show fruit? What does the Bible say? Okay, you'll know them by your fruit. By your fruit you will know them. But what is fruit? How is fruit described? I need more information than that. You're right, Brother Tom.
Love, joy, peace.
Okay, those are the fruits of, what are that's called? The fruit of the?
Spirit.
That's called the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians chapter 5, right? You read that there. You read, here's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, now help me, it's love,
joy,
peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Right, those nine, and that's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not called the fruits of the Spirit. Not nine different fruits. And I major in joy and long-suffering, and I couldn't care less about love or peace. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's one fruit. It's like an orange. That's probably a bad analogy, but let me finish it. You know, you peel an orange, and you get inside that orange, and then there are different sections, right, to that orange, and you eat one section. It's all one orange, but you got these different segments or parts to it. I kind of think it's that way with the fruit of the Spirit. And what is, when you boil down the fruit of the Spirit, it's being like who?
Jesus.
It's like being like Jesus. If you look at Jesus, do you find love? If you look at Jesus, you find a man, it says in the Bible, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. You find joy. You find peace when he was getting beat up and getting scourged, and he didn't say a word, and he just committed himself to his Father. Peace in the middle of all the conflict and storm. And you go on all through, and you find that's the fruit. And Paul says, you're bearing fruit. You're bearing fruit, and the fruit's growing. And that's how you know that you're in the right place. In God, I mean. That's how you know that you're really following the Lord, and you're really linked to Him, because this fruit that grows, and it's visible, it's evidenced. It's not, you know, this idea, well, you know, be patient with me, God's not finished with me yet. I understand that, be patient with me, God's not finished with any of us yet. But don't use that as a cop-out. Don't hide behind that guise of, well, you know, I'm really a good Christian, but nobody can see it. But it's in there. Well, if it's in there, it's going to show. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy are my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm a new creation where all things have passed away and everything becomes new. And now because I know Him, and because I'm known of Him, and I have this union and fellowship with Him, where this virtue that flows from Him, and I'm not what I'm going to one day be, because I'm still in the process of maturing and growing. But you can look at my tree, you can look at my life, and there's fruit. Oh, I'm not yet what I should be, no, but I'm growing in love. And you come back to me next year, and I'll be a more loving person than I am this year. And I'll have more of Christ-likeness in my life. And every day, every year, and I don't know that I could perceive it every day, but I know some people for a long time, and you can see the change. You can see the maturity. You can see the growth. It should be that way. The world should be able to look at us and see Christ in us. Others should be able to look at my life and your life. Oh, do we fail? Yes, we fail. Do we need to go back to the throne of grace for mercy and have help? Yes, we do. But are we growing more and more because we're linked to Him and because that fruit of Christ? Yes. Yes, that's there in me and you and all of us by the grace of God. And that's how I can know that I know Him. It's not just because I say I do. It's not just because I've got a good Bible and I go to a good church. But it's because I'm maturing, I'm growing, and I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. Well, what other ways of the Bible? There's another way that I'm thinking of that it talks about fruit, the fruit of Christ likeness or the fruit of the Spirit. But what else do we read in the Bible?
Fruit of righteousness.
Fruit of Yeah, that's a yes, Crystal? Okay, I think I know where you're heading with that. What did Jesus say, maybe if I put it in the context, I'm not sure what chapter, it might be John 8, but... Okay, by your fruits you shall know them. What did you say, Brother Tom?
You shall know that they are my disciples by their love.
Okay, that's again the idea of Christ-likeness. But you remember when Jesus ran across the Jews, they said, we have Abraham to our father.
Bring forth fruits.
We know all that, right? We have Abraham to our father. Doesn't matter that we live like the devil. We have Abraham to our father. We're Jews. We're Jews through and through. We can prove it. We have pedigrees on our side. Well, as far as I knew, pedigree was a dog, and that's what they were. And Jesus said to them, "Wait, you have your father, all right? You have your father, the devil." Shouldn't have said that to them. They didn't like that, not one bit. You probably wouldn't like that either if somebody said that to you. But Jesus was just telling the truth, and he said, you have your father, bring forth, if you were of your father Abraham, then you would bring forth the fruits that Abraham brings forth. Bring forth, therefore, fruit meet for repentance. It's in Matthew 7, and if we had more time, I'd ask you to turn to all these places. But in Matthew 7, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth. Well, you could almost fill in the blank. You know the blank. Good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, good fruit. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. And then he launches into this idea about fruit. You know what kind of tree it is by its fruit. And a bad tree, Jesus says, a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. You can do whatever you want to do. You can try to make it. You can try to teach it. You can try to go send it to, you know, a religious school and have catechism every day. A bad tree, you got a bad heart, you're not going to get good fruit from a bad heart. No matter how you try to send it to reform school and make it work, it just doesn't last. It doesn't stick. See, I don't expect people who are not saved, who have no knowledge of Jesus and no fellow, I don't expect them to live godly, Christian, good lives. I don't expect that. I expect them to be immoral. I expect them to be cheats and liars and scoundrels. And I expect that from people that don't know the Lord. I don't care how upstanding they may be in their community or whatever. A bad tree, Jesus said, brings bad fruit. But conversely, a good tree, Jesus says, brings forth good fruit. You can't help it. If you have a union and a fellowship with Jesus Christ, then you can't live like the devil. And tell me I know him. John says in 1 John, if you read the first couple chapters, John says, if you say that you have fellowship with him and you lie... What does he say? He calls you a couple bad names. Well, they're not so bad. But what does he call you? You are a
liar.
A liar. And the truth is not in you. If you say that you know him and you hate your brother, you're a liar. And you don't have any part or fellowship with each other. You know, the word of God is rather clear. When we know him, if we say that we know him, then you have to bring forth some kind of a fruit in your life, a visible fruit that you do know him. And there's fruit of repentance. And there's the fruit of the Spirit. And as we grow and go on, as Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, that the fruit that you're bringing forth, that you've been bringing forth ever since the day that you knew the gospel, and now it's increasing and it's still growing, and that's how you know that you know that you know. Yes, there's that inner strength and inner power, and you can live, yes, but also there's a fruitfulness that manifests the fruit of Christ. I was in Napa Valley a couple of years ago. That's in Northern California, and it's beautiful country. And that's where they grow all the grapes. For miles and miles, the only thing you see is grapevines and And it's really pretty on the rolling hills, and every once in a while you come to a big, beautiful estate, like in a gate, and they invite you to go in there, and you can taste the wine or buy the bottles of wine. And I don't drink wine, never have, never will, and so I'm not interested in that. I wanted to buy grapes. I wanted to taste grapes. I want to eat them. I don't care if they were the purple ones or the green ones. I want grapes. So I went into one of these places, and I said I just want to buy some grapes. And they said to me, buy grapes. I said, yeah, don't you sell grapes around here? I mean, you got plenty of grapes. So no, these aren't those kind of grapes. You won't find any eating grapes in this region at all. This land is too valuable to grow grapes to eat. These grapes are all, they go to the wineries and we press them, and this is too valuable land to grow those cheap little old grapes, and so no, you won't find them here. And then I started talking to the guy. I said, I don't know the difference. I'm from New York, and we don't know much about grapes, at least I don't from New York. And we got into a conversation, and I was glad I did, because I said to him, well, what are you doing now? They put this metallic strips on the vines, and the vines are lifted up. They're suspended like in midair, and they've got these metallic strips because when the breezes blow, they wiggle a little bit, and I guess it keeps the birds or whatever the pests from landing on those vines. And it really is pretty. I mean, it may not be so pretty the way I'm describing it, but it really is. And so in conversation with this guy, I said to him, what's the story? What are you doing now? Is it harvest time? Are you reaping the cluster? He said, well, no. One of the things we're doing now is that we're bringing the grapes off of the ground. The tendency is that when they cluster, they get weighed down, and so they can lay on the ground if you don't do anything and if you don't care for them. The vineyard, the vine, needs a husbandman. It needs a caretaker. It needs somebody to watch out for these grapes, because if we let the grapes lie in the ground, they don't grow properly. They go to seed quicker. So what we have to do is we suspend them. We put them on these things. I don't know what they call them. But we suspend them so that they get out of the dirt and they get into the sun. I said, this guy should have been a preacher. I mean, he's got the wrong profession. He's running a winery. I mean, of all things, he missed his calling in life. Because there's a sermon right there. He didn't know it, and I didn't tell him. But that's the problem sometimes with us. We're supposed to bring forth fruit. We're supposed to bring forth more fruit. We're supposed to have good clusters of grapes. Because when we know him, that's what happens. And we begin to grow in Christ-likeness. And the fruit of the Spirit is met. But sometimes we begin, but we get dragged down. And you know, you don't grow very well in the dirt. You got to get up from out of the dirt and out of the din of this world, and you got to come up a little higher, and you got to get into the sunshine. And when you're exposed to that sunlight, you're in a better place to be productive and to grow and to bring forth fruit and to bring forth more fruit. And to, as Paul prays for the church in Colossae, that you bear fruit and it continues to grow. And sometimes we need to get out of the dirt. Sometimes we play around too much in the dirt. Now, I don't mean in the literal dirt. I don't mean don't go at the beach and dig a hole and try to bury yourself in it. But I'm talking about the things that are just not clean, not good, not conducive to growing good fruit. You got to get up into the sunshine a little bit. And then the man told me, he said, and this is a time of year we also, I asked him about pruning, because John 15 talks about, he cuts back. He said, when do you cut back the branch? Oh yeah, we cut them back, and you got to know what to cut. But this time of year, we don't cut back. This time of year, the only thing we cut back is sucker shoots. I said, who? He said, sucker shoots. I don't know what sucker shoots are. I said, tell me more. What do you do with these sucker shoots? He says, sucker shoots are what grows out of the vine, and they're branches, but they're never going to have any fruit on them. They're never expecting to have fruit on them. But what they do is they sap the nutrients and the life from the real vine, that it brings forth the fruit. So you have to go around, and these little growths that come out, you have to lop them off. He says, that's the pruning that we do this time of year. We just lop off those sucker shoots because they'll take the nutrients from the good fruit, from that which is wanting to be, and it'll retard or hinder that growth. And we don't want that to happen. We want the grapes to be the plumpest, the best, the biggest, the ripest, whatever. So we cut off those suckers. I said, this guy's a preacher. He's a preacher. He missed it again. And I thought, that's what we need to do too, though, isn't it? We're supposed to bring forth fruit, and fruit that will glorify Him. So you got to get out of the dirt, and you got to get up in the sunshine. And there are things that would tend to attach themselves or grow, and they're not going anywhere. There's no produce in that. It's not productive for the kingdom of God. It's not going to enhance His kingdom come and His will being done here on earth. It's going to just sap my energy or my strength or my time or my effort. I guess in Romans chapter, I forgot my Bible now. I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, isn't it, where it says, lay aside every weight, lay aside the hindrances. To me, those are the sucker shoots. And it's not the sin, that's the dirt. Yeah, get out of the dirt and get up into the sunshine. But not only get out of the dirt and up into the sunshine, but those hindrances, those things that are not going anywhere, they're not productive, they're not helpful to your Christian life, that you got to get rid of, you got to divest yourself from them, because you want to be in a good fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ, and you don't have any time for anything else, so you got to let Him have His way. Well, John chapter 15, and just turn there, and I'm going to close in 2 minutes, I hope. I will. But in John chapter 15, I'm not going to turn there, that'll help me. In John 15, you find that in 11 verses, I think 10 times you have that word refrain again, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, or in the NIV it says remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. Or you get out of the dirt and get up into the sunshine if you want to bring forth fruit, and that's one of the evidences of knowing Him. Yes, get rid of those sucker shoots and those hindrances and those things that are not productive to your life. And most of all, and I guess the most important thing that you can find taught about fruitfulness in the Word of God, and there in that chapter, John 15, Jesus says, I want my disciples to bring forth fruit. Then He says, I want them to bring forth more fruit. I want them to bring forth fruit that will remain. I want to see myself manifest in and through them. I want to see me in them. I want to glorify my name through their lives, that they bring forth fruit is the goal. And in order to bring forth fruit, what you need to do is abide in Him, remain in Him. Don't get out of Him. Don't just visit Him every Sunday. Don't just visit Him on the meeting times. But all day long, all this day long, remain in Him. Keep in touch with Him. Live in Him. Dwell in Him, whichever way you want to call it. The Bible speaks much, much about it. And the Holy Spirit wants us to stay put right there. We don't do that too well sometimes. We visit Him. We acquaint ourselves with Him. And that's where the growth is retarded. But if we could just maintain that contact with Him. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. And if that can be your experience, and you don't have to be old to do this. You don't have to sit in the church all day, every day to remain in Him. You can remain in Him when you're in the kitchen, on the grounds, doing whatever it is that you're doing. And every once in a while, you make sure that you're remaining in Him by you open your heart to Him. I mean, consciously, you might praise or thank Him or express your love or gratitude to Him and just maintain that fellowship with Him. And then maybe remind Him or yourself, Lord, You're with me now. You're working in me now. You're helping me now. Well, I don't want a microwave experience. You know what microwave experience is? You get popped into the oven and you turn on that thing for 30 seconds and it gets all hot. That's what some people do every Sunday. They like microwave. They go into church and they get all hot and they're all pumped up. But then they come out of the microwave after 20 seconds. And you get cold real quick too. And then at least my experience is you not only get cold, you get hard. And the Lord wants us to have a crock pot experience or something like that. He wants to put you in there and just cook you all day. You ever do that? Sal Bratton's best when you put it in a crock pot. or wings, chicken wings, put them in the crock pot. Let them just... That's what you need to do. Could you do that today? Could you do that all day today? Could you just get in the crock pot? Forget your microwave. You've been here. This is microwave. We're done. Let's go. But no, Lord, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to remain. I'm going to abide in you all day long. I'm going to have fellowship with you all day today. I'm going to go on slow cook. I don't want to be a fast in and out, but I want you to just soak. When I was the pot boy, who's pot boy here? You pot boy? You're pot boy. You're pot boy?
Jason.
Jason. You're pot boy? Oh, wow. How about that? Well, pot boy. I was a pot boy. And when I was a pot boy, I was telling somebody this morning, and Sister Rosie, I think she used every pot that the camp owned. And she must have liked me, I guess. She never wanted me to leave the kitchen, I guess. Because I thought I was done. And then why do they have to grease them so much? Do you know the answer to this? They put that grease on there, that grease just... And then they throw it in the oven and they seem to think that you got to bake it to death. So that... Oh, it's terrible. And I learned a secret. You know the best thing to do with those pots? Little tip, inside clue, save you a lot of time. Let them soak. Just get the warm water and the soap and just let it soak. And then the things that you have to force out and you have to scrape up and all the rest of that, just let it soak. Just let it sit there and soak. And the stuff that you had to work so hard to get rid of will just comes right off. If you just let, you know, it's like that with me, with you, with us. You got to just learn to soak. You got to learn to just hang out right there. I guess the Old Testament word would be meditate. You just got to mull over and think on and keep in your heart and keep in your mind and keep in fellowship with Him. And then just by definition, the fruit will grow. And you look at your life and you'll say, you know, I would have reacted differently when she said that to me. I would have smacked her across. I would have given her a good piece of my mind. But Sister Gladys, we're different now, right? I know that's true. I know that's true. Jesus is working. This fruit, there's a change. Oh, thank God that He changes us from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And He's working today. And so you know that you know Him because you can see a change in your life. I know that some people know Jesus because I can see Christ in them. And Lord, we pray that that might grow. As Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, that they may bring forth more fruit. As you prayed for your disciples, so may that be our experience today. Lord, bless us. Keep us now in your presence. Keep us ever in fellowship with you, whether it's between a ping pong ball or an ice cream cone. Lord, we can still always live in your presence. And I pray that you'll help us to do that this day. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.